You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny. Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin, and I'm here to deconstruct my jokes from the past and the present and the future into why they didn't work and how can I make them work. I experienced a victory this week, a victory that has been my white whale. And for the serial listeners, God bless you, the ones that have stuck with me through all 100 and something episodes at this point, you know my white whale. It was about duck penises. Ducks have huge dicks, huge, like 12-inch dicks. And I've been I dedicated a whole episode to it and then several others after it. Like, there's a whole episode I did, if you want to go back and listen, called Duck, Duck, Penis. And then an interview I did with Shane Moss. We both talked to each other a lot about our obsession with duck dicks and how I just can't crack the joke. And I'll just show you, just go back and listen if you want to hear the failure of the joke. I mean, there's times when people are just like, just silent. And it would work occasionally. But it was just never working for me. And then from a couple episodes ago, I discussed the concept of I don't always know how people perceive me. And I always like assume things that I may be wrong about. You know, like I have horrible issues with myself. And I think a lot of people just look at me and think, oh, that guy's being a dick. Mainly just because of my size, gender, race. In fact, I'm wearing a suit and being loud. You know, it's easy to just be like, oh, he's being a dick. And I'm not. You know, a lot of times I'm just having explained that I am either... Normally, I'm good at explaining that I'm either at or below what I'm mocking. Because I always am. I'm always either... I consider myself either equal or under whatever I'm making fun of. I'm never like just attacking things that I believe to be weaker than me because it makes me uncomfortable. So this duck thing, because a lot of it has to do with duck rape. I know that's what I mean. A little jarring, but I cracked the code. Anyway, before I get started, I have to plug. I'm at Atlanta Punchline this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Great club. It'll be awesome. As always, go to hugepianist.com or owenbenjamin.com and order yourself some handcrafted beer coasters that my brother and I make. They're pretty cheap. But they're awesome. They're Adirondack wood. There's maple and birch and all these cool woods that we chop up and then we sand down and stain and we brand Case Closed Beers Open. It's our other podcast that we do, Case Closed Beers Open. We solve small town mysteries and drink beers. So if you order that, it helps the podcast. Like, for example, this week we don't have a sponsor because I don't like to have sponsors that I don't like feel passionate about. I know it sounds corny and like I'm lying, but it's true. And like Casper mattress, I really do sleep on that shit. Like I really do shave with Harry's. Like I really do use Audible. So every now and then I'll get presented with a ad that I'm like, oh God, please don't make me say I'm into this. So I don't sometimes. Like, I really can't justify it. And then after we talk about duck penises, I read some of your emails. They're awesome. Your emails are so fucking great. And so stay with us and listen to that. So anyway, if you buy these coasters, it allows me to not be a total fucking sellout. Thank you. All right. So I've had this joke for a while. This is a song called Every Relationship from a Man's Point of View. And just listen to it, and then we'll discuss. Okay, I just realized I'm gonna sing along with it because this audio isn't the best. So I'll just tell you the words. It's called Every Relationship from a Man's Point of View. Here we go.
This is called Every Relationship from a Man's Point of View.
Why are you mad? What did I do? Why won't you talk to me? We just woke up I can't think of anything I could have done. Did you have another bad dream about me? You had a dream I cheated on you, and now you're mad in real life. Well, guess what? I had a dream I was getting raped by a duck. I'm not mad at ducks, 'cause I know it was just a dream. Okay, that was a joke that already existed. It's a song. Normally I say I was getting raped by a clown, right? But I thought to myself, you know what? This could be your window into letting them know that you're not judgy of duck rape. And guys and ladies, it fucking works. We're that simple. We're that simple-minded. There are people that think I'm a duck rape advocate if I don't say I was getting raped by a duck. When I say that and it gets this big laugh because it's random, they don't even know I'm going to talk about ducks yet. This is all before that. Now, check this out. Watch how I set it up to then work.
Do you know ducks have 13-inch dicks? You know what that is? If I was going to be an animal, I'd be a duck. Every time I was a lion, a dolphin, right now, they can fly, they can swim. But they still choose to walk. That's pimp. They're the Navy SEALs, the animal babies. That's what you're not really going to do. And the reason that their dicks are so long is because there's a lot of unwanted sex in the duck community. It's true story. So the male duck will just go up to a chick duck, and they look so ridiculous that it's funny to imagine. And they're like, meh, and the chick's like, so what they've adapted is false vaginas. So like when a duck female is getting, you know, when an unwanted male duck is like, she's like, so she sends it down the wrong pussy. I call it the party pussy. It's like jokes on the guy, because he thinks he's like co-creating, he's like, and she's like, and then when the one she likes, he's like, and write down the right one. And so to adapt, ducks have had this genital arms race for like a million years, where their dicks just keep getting longer, and the pussies get more and more complicated, and it's all happening under the surface of water. That's a metaphor for human existence.
Okay, see, this is an older crowd. Not everybody. It was mixed, but it was in Lake Placid, so a lot of people were really conservative, and they're still laughing. You know, that worked. And even the littlest things, like when I'm illustrating a duck being raped, she's still winning, and I think that's very important. And I think you can get away with doing a joke involving rape in the animal kingdom if the perceived victim is the actual winner, where she's like, like she's tricking the guy. And now it basically is now empowered the victim because she's adapted this second vagina so that she can't be forced to have the child of a rapist. You see how intense? There's so much intensity behind the dumbest fucking jokes. And like, being around my baby all the time has allowed me to also just be a little sillier on stage, where I just make noises. Like sometimes I just find myself just moving my head around and being like, because that makes him laugh. So that's it. I mean, I think you can never, or I can never assume enough that people think I'm coming from a bad place. Like, I have to just illustrate completely that I'm not a proponent of duck rape, human rape. I don't know. I just don't know. See, I just think being 36 years on this earth, you just really start realizing that there's some people that have been really hurt in the past. And I'm not saying that condescendingly. Like, there's people that are like, When you have PTSD or when you've been really victimized, you're searching the world for enemies. You're like, are you an enemy? Are you an enemy? And if you've seen hell, like if you've seen combat or rape or murder in front of you or like any of these horrible things, it makes sense to assume someone's an enemy, even if odds are they're not. And so as a performer dancing around topics that, you know, may trigger people, an actual trigger. I'm not the kind of, sometimes I condescendingly talk about triggering, like, you know, the Yale kid not getting his orange juice. Oh, did you guys hear that Harvard, there's this huge strike because they don't pay their employees, like their janitors and their food staff. They get paid like $30,000 a year and they're all picketing. And there was another picketing going on at the same time about Black Lives Matter. Does no one else see how fucking hilarious? Okay, it's all these rich kids. And then there's the poor people that work at the school. They had a $10 million grant this year to study poverty in Boston. They're making poverty. And when you see the picketing, you can't make this shit up. It's right next to the rich kids that are like, Colin Kaepernick. It's like, give these desperate people money. Okay, I'm sorry if I triggered people for that, but that's a trigger you need to have happen. The real triggers, I don't want to do. A rape victim should never have to like think about that again, where there's a man on stage thinking that rape is funny. So obviously I don't find rape funny. I find the fact ducks have a 13-inch penis funny and that they're so stupid looking. And so when you really navigate it, and I play the part of like, I had a nightmare, a duck was raping me. That's subtle. And then the next step is like, the party pussy, I think we have a winner. And I did that. I've done that 3 times and every time it's worked in very different crowds. Okay, before I get too carried away, I'm going to read emails from you guys and ladies because they're amazing. One thing I'll say about my fan base is, or equal base, is you're so fucking smart and well, you're just fucking great. So let's listen to some emails. Okay, last week we had a clip from a Lebanese gentleman who talked about stuff and he wrote me, there's a lot to say about these topics and it's important that you're alluding to them. I think the monkey experiment needs to be mentioned more. I probably should have talked into the phone rather than away from it. It can really open people's eyes to some of the prejudice we all experience and or inflict on each other. The worst part, in my opinion, is that we all need to think more and be more critical, but we never do. We get mentally lazy, and it's much easier to accept a status quo than to challenge it. Yes, it's a tough balance we have to do as humans. I played sports my whole life, and I'm sure a lot of you did too, and there's a balance. We can't all just think completely critically and autonomously at all times or else everything would fall apart. Like I played tight end, and most of the time I have to block. And if I said, why do I have to block? And someone said, block now. And I kept saying, but why? Someone's getting their bell rung. So, but at the same time, you know, as we can see with what's happening in the world today, if you just kind of take everything said to you for face, if you believe everything people say to you and you just kind of go with the party lines, you're making a mistake because a lot of people are lying. And yeah, it's a tough balance. I wish I had the answer, but I don't. Okay, this one is from Catherine. Catherine says, you've talked a lot about how mothers aren't given as much respect in society. We talk a lot about women equality, but for some reason in the rise to give femininity more power in society, we have forgotten to empower mothers or in some cases have downplayed their worth. I thought about this the other day when I saw the movie Light Between Oceans. It's a film with two prominent female characters who have a quiet strength about motherhood. In an age of cinemas where we praise female superheroes and badass women characters on screen, which I do like, in parentheses, we don't make much of female characters that seem to have incredibly unique feminine strength on screen. But it's more quiet. It's contemplative. And I understand that it isn't flashy. My sister is a labor and delivery nurse. More than a couple times a month, she will come home in tears because she had to watch a mother deliver a dead baby. There have been times where the baby survived 39 weeks and then died. And for the baby to exit the body, the mother still has to push them out. Moms are heroes, and I think because pregnancy is such a natural thing, we forget how risky it is, not just physically, but emotionally. We need both men and women. And while we should seek to be in a society that values equality, and we should value each other in relationships equally, we also need to celebrate the differences and not see them as weaknesses. Your podcast is sometimes my church. Thank you, Catherine. Wow, you see why I read these emails? Like, you can't make this stuff up. That's incredible. I don't think that there's a cabal of movie producers trying to keep moms down. I think that it has to do with money, of course, everything, where you can't put the strength of a mom or the strength of what makes women uniquely strong can't be summed up in a 30-second trailer on a commercial. What makes men strong can. Just, boop, 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 boop. You know, what makes men strong is our ability to just inflict chaos in times of war, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. Long term, what makes men strong is just waking up and doing it again every day and getting through hard times and making things work. But what makes women strong, and I'm not saying women can't also do what men can do. In fact, I'm actually sick of just even giving that preference, giving that like warning, like, oh, I believe, like, no shit. But like, what makes them uniquely strong is subtle. And it's over the course of decades, it's building communities and building and being able to push out a dead baby and not blow your fucking brains out. That's uniquely feminine. Yeah, it's an intense one. Okay, this one, this is from a little while ago, but I really need to read this dude's email. It's a good one, and I want to help him get a job. Hey, Owen, we chatted a few minutes after your show on Friday. I told you that I was a big fan of your podcast and that you were accompanied me on road trips back from school at UCM. You then proceeded to give me an immediate and appreciative bear hug. Anyways, I just want to say that you killed it and that I was so glad you were performing during these few weeks that I'm job hunting and spending way too much money at the Comedy Store and elsewhere. I'm not exaggerating when I say your podcast is the only one that I've listened to religiously. Your perspective, observations always really hit home with me, and I'm such a fan of the it's not even funny, but it's true vibe that a lot of your anecdotes in the podcast have. It's really captivating and unique how you can sum up an issue in a way that makes me think. I've noticed that. I just haven't found a way to describe it efficiently. My long-term goals are honestly to head back to Ohio and settle. I'm looking for jobs out here, though, because I feared that if I went back to Ohio immediately, I'd never leave. I want to get out of my comfort zone at least a few years. An extra bed in a friend's apartment encouraged me to make the drive out here. Okay, so basically what he's saying, I studied civil engineering and ideally trying to get a job with a tech company to use drones in construction, mining, surveying, with a standard civil job being my fallback. Currently interviewing with a company in Palo Alto and looking around here for more places to send my resume. As I was leaving, you said, feel free to email you and that you knew some people in engineering. Now, I normally would hesitate to actually reach out because of that, but you honestly seemed to say that genuinely. When I told my roommate about the show and that you were super friendly, he was all like, dude, this is LA. You have to email him. Absolutely nothing to lose. Network, buddy, network. And he's right. I shouldn't feel embarrassed and following up with that, haha. And honestly, I probably would have emailed anyway to say it was cool to see you. Obviously not expecting anything to come of that, but wanted to throw that tidbit in. Great. Yeah, and then he goes on to send me some pics. He's such a good guy. So nice. He said, please keep doing what you're doing. Enjoy Saranac Lake. Enjoy Walter and Amy. Last thing, my best friend that came out of the closet a few years back was absolutely dying at the faggot bit because you uploaded from Seattle. Seeing his face and to be able to watch you win him back in 3 minutes was really entertaining. Bravo. Thanks for reading. Sorry for the obnoxious length. Best to you and your fam, Max Hoover. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reaching out to you. If you know anyone that has a job for this amazing young man, Max, he wants to get into the drones when it comes to construction with engineering and Yeah, he's just a good dude. So just email me if you even know. See, I don't understand what he's talking about with some of this stuff. I don't know what drones really, I mean, I kind of know the concept of drones, but it's not my specialty. But I want to help him because, you know, the people, I don't even call them fans anymore because it's like, I'm honored that you listen to this stuff. It's pretty crazy. Oh yeah, and the faggot joke he's referring to, obviously that could sound jarring to listeners if you don't know what he's referring to. Just go back. I think my last one before two ago, not the South Park one, but go back one more and you'll see what it is. I kind of deconstruct where the word comes from and who the modern faggots are. And on that note, my boy Emil, the Filipino machine, wrote to me about that joke. He wrote, funny evolution of joke, but babies? Just wait till all the boomers end up in diapers and are the real burdens to society. Faggots. I wrote, genius. He wrote back, feel free to use it as a tag. Honored to contribute in some way to your revolution. Yeah, I mean, just long story short, the bit is about how faggot means bundle of sticks. And going back to what, who was the first email I wrote? Which one was it? I don't know. The one about status quo stuff. It's interesting how status quo about the word faggot people are, where it's like bundle of sticks. Yeah, that makes sense. Don't say that word. And no one's like, why the hell are they called bundles of sticks? And so I researched it, and it's because faggot was slang for a burdensome person. And gay people were burdensome when we were agricultural because we needed like 15 kids because we didn't have farm equipment. And the one who wanted to tap dance was a bummer. And so now gay people aren't faggots because they're not burdens to society because we have farm equipment. So in fact, they're killing it. They're like, you know, doing amazing. Like this modern economy and culture is built for homosexuals. Double income, no kids. They're all in great shape. They're very educated. They're fun to be around at parties. They're very witty. And the new faggot is babies. Because a baby is a burden because we don't have any crops. And now we just have to spend money on their education. Don't get me wrong. I love my little faggot. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And so Emil's contribution is that old people are also going to become faggots, burdens. And then the way I button the joke at the end, it took me a year to get that joke because you don't want to leave it at that. You don't want to just say that because it still leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. And I make sure up front I say, like, listen, I'm not saying run around using this word. It still means hurtful shit to people, and you can't get around that. But if you just look at the history of it, and then the way I end the joke is I go, yeah, like a lot of my gay friends, they're just making millions of dollars now in like software and apps and stuff. They're like, yeah, come over to our castle. We're having a rave, but don't bring that little faggot baby. It's going to bum everyone out. All right. The good times. Okay, Benjamin Ramirez says, hey, bro, I like your Why Didn't They Left podcast and thought I would start sending you some material that I think of randomly. Hope some helps. He says, quote unquote, so dry cleaning is like paying rent on nice clothes. That's funny. I like that. When they talk about suspicious packages on the news causing shutdowns and panic, what exactly does a suspicious package look like? I always picture it like a box wrapped in brown paper and tied with twine. Maybe the audible ticking is what gives it away. That's funny. I mean, I think a suspicious package is if you see like a 5'1" Cambodian dude with like a fucking 9-inch cock outline in his pants. Or like if you see like a 9-foot black dude with like a tiny little package in his pants, you're like, that's a suspicious package. But I like where your head's at. Yeah, dry cleaning, you're right. You get these nice clothes and you still have to like pay rent on it. Benjamin, I'm guessing that you are somehow involved in real estate or economics because you break things down according to worth and shit like that. What do we got here? Owen, podcast 114 started off describing your personality and the tone of Why Don't They Laugh versus Case Closed, Beers Open. I related to it because I took a personality test which labeled me as ENTP, giving me clarity as to why I've liked Why Don't They Laugh so much, which is more serious and helps quench my thirst for knowledge. The talk with the combat vet you had was a very good take on the questioning the status quo, which is what ENTPs do. To help figure out why it's happening, ENTPs draw on their vast knowledge, set emotions aside, and play devil's advocate to cut deep into understanding from many sides in the scenario, which is being debated. Cool. Nice. Thanks, Trevor. It came from Trevor. Yeah, I agree. I think that the reason I get such well thought out, eloquent emails is because I think people that like my podcast are that. I think they're people that just kind of don't have a side. They have a tribe in a sense where they have family and friends and community and stuff, but they're like, they don't want to be mad. You know, and I've had, my wife and I had a crazy up and down week where there's no right or wrong. It's just like she is a lot neater than me and sees all these like where the shoes should go and like, you know, coconut oil is bad for pipes, you know, shit that I can't even comprehend of knowing. And over time, when you're married and you live with somebody, people can just start resenting each other because, you know, they like, because I'm pretty good at picking up nonverbals. And like when I see nostril flaring and stuff like that, I know that she's disgusted by me. And we started getting a little dark for a couple of days and we fought and I was like, can we go back to just being like loving and shit? And she was like, I don't mean to be this way. It's just how I'm designed and I can't stop looking at the problems of the home, you know, like, and she's very grateful. She's not materialistic. I'm not knocking her at any of that shit. It's not like she's like, I need a gold plated fucking sink. She's just saying like, this knife shouldn't be here. And then when that like builds up and builds up and builds up, then there's a rift between us. So I had a show the other night at LPCA in Lake Placid and she came out and I wore a suit and she wore a dress and she got to watch a show and we got a babysitter, which we never get to get. It's the second time since we've had them that we've been able to go out together. And then we went to a bar and had a couple beers and we're on the dance floor and just making out, like literally I got a boner like on the dance floor. And she was like, we almost literally just started having sex. We looked as if we were like drunk college kids that just are desperately trying to fuck each other. We're like Mormons that just got away from their families. And that like spark came back where she like giggled at like dumb shit I said that isn't that funny. And we had that like love again where it was just great and it just washed over us. And I can go weeks and even months. For any of you guys that have children or, you know, just can conceive of this, sometimes you get in that zone where, and it's good. It's good. I'm not complaining because he is more important than anything at this point. And it's like, so we're both focused on him. I'm like, I gotta, you know, keep my career going and clean up the yard. And she's like, I have to make sure all this shit, you know, we're in this zone. And then we start forgetting about each other. And then we start feeling almost like we're employees of each other. And so it's good to just every now and then reconnect and just restart. And I don't know why I'm telling that story, but I just wanted to tell that story. It's because it's, and she's so incredible because she's like, listen, we'll get through this. We'll get through everything because it's not the big shit that makes people start wearing down. It's never like, you know, I don't know. I can't even think of anything right now. It's the slow rot. And I work in trees with my brother when I'm not doing comedy. And you see trees, the weakest trees are the ones that had this slow decay. And so we really, really try to nip that in the bud as much as we can because we could just go silent and I could just be like, oh, I'm bad. I'm a dumb man who doesn't know where to put his shoes. And she could feel like that naggy woman and we could fit right into every commercial we see on television, which we don't want to do. So we're fighting that and we're doing a good job, you know? And it's funny. It's funny what you're capable of when, cause she even told me, she's like, do you need to go back to being a little more wild? Cause we had a laugh where she was like, you know, when we first started dating, like I would still flirt with women, and I wasn't quite ready to settle down and all that stuff. But I was a lot more like, I never thought about politics. You know, I was always thinking about like my penis. And she was like, "You are so happy." She was like, "Do you need that? Like, do you need to occasionally like go out and do some shit that you don't want to tell me? Because I just want you to be happy. I want you to be like carefree." And I told her, I was like, "Amy, I don't need that. I don't need that. What I need to feel carefree is, well, A, I won't ever now, which is fine. I'm a man. Like, I don't know why we have this illusion that we should feel carefree for our whole lives. Like, there's a time when I'm not carefree. I got a fucking child and three dogs and mortgages and shit. Like, I don't want to be carefree." But her point was that I focus intensely on, you know, riddles and shit, like trying to crack the code of, it used to be sex. It used to be like, how do I have this woman become attracted to me? Or how do I, you know, get this part on television so I can be shiny for the people? I want to be shiny. I want to be like a shiny diamond. And then I got love and I got all this shit I wanted and I don't really care. And so now I'm like, how does the political system work? And that's dark. Like, nothing good comes out of those rabbit holes. And so my thing now is just to really take time to look at myself and say, do you really give a shit about these issues, you know? Because after we have sex, after we like have that love come back, that in love, we always love, but that in love, that spark, I don't give a fuck what Hillary and Trump are doing. You know, I'm like, let's have cookies. I love you. I just want to smell her skin. It's like, that's that battle. And I think that a lot of the world is just pent up, you know, they get caught in the rat race. And I have one of the freest lives you can imagine. You know, I write for a living. I chose where we lived, like to be like safe in Four Seasons and on a hilltop near my brother. And I too am just as much in that as the people that you see in the cars going to the cubicles, because life has that way of creeping up on you. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. And I have no advice, you know. Until 3 days ago, I thought I was fucked for 10 solid days. I was like very frustrated. And then we just clicked and made out. We didn't even have sex. We had to take the babysitter home and all that shit, and we couldn't bang at the bar, but it was all we needed, you know? And then ever since, we both look at each other again, like that in love glow that is so necessary. And I just never want it to go away. And that's one reason why I'm so obsessed with fire. You know, I swear that my freedom is going to be the best of me and the worst, because it's like, everyone thought I was going to be a lawyer. You know, my dad teaches public speech and rhetoric and how to structure arguments. And I'm, you know, was really good at school and shit. And I'm fucking 6'7" and commanding. But I didn't want to. After I graduated college, I was like, no. When I went to comedy, everyone's like, oh, that's stupid. You're just going to fail. Like, why are you wasting your time? Like, you know, and then I succeeded in it. But right now, I'm still totally into comedy. That's a life love. But I've just been so into making fires. Like, I'll spend 4 hours just walking around my property, collecting little twigs, like little dead twigs, and just making fires, like in my fireplace, and then like figuring out how to grill properly on it, and like how to use bark and how to layer it and how to like get coals that like, what's the best BTUs for like heat and shit like that. And it's weird. Like, I'll like forget about editing comedy and just, I'm like, no, baby, I really have to like work on this fire. But I've been getting a lot of life lessons from the fire. I've been really understanding more about love. That sounds so corny and stupid, but it's like, just like how when it starts flaming up, your first instinct is to put a big log on it. You're like, okay, we have a fire. Now it's time to really rock this thing. And it always puts it out. At the same time, if you have a good fire going and you don't fan it, it goes out. And it's all about these little twigs. The littlest twigs, the best are like just cut apple twigs. Because dead twigs will burn quickly. They're very easy to light. They're good kindling. But they don't last very long. So it's the littlest pieces of things placed properly will structure a fire so that it just lasts. And then once you're ready for the bigger pieces, when you have those coals and you have like your ability to fan the fire, it can become just beautiful and like magnificent. And then sometimes it gets too hot and you burn your steak. There's like a perfect thing. And I think that like our relationships with each other are very similar to that. You know, if you ignore it too long, you start losing it. You have to restart. You have to start over. And if you push too far, you put it out. It's, you know, that's when you start fighting, where it's like, just listen to me, see my side. Why don't you understand me? All that does is make the other person extinguish. But you still, you know, you have to be firm about what you believe, but at the same time, give that air, you know? It's just like a fire. And I am not saying this from a perspective of me teaching you, because I'm still learning about fires and still learning about marriage, and I still have a lot to learn. But so that's going to do it. There's still more emails I wish I could get to, but I'm way into this podcast. I'm deep. I'm trying not to do those super long ones anymore. I'm going to do another one on Friday. But I love you guys. And go to hugepianist.com to order yourself some beer coasters. They're fresh, cut, real wood that my brother and I cut and then make into beer coasters for Case Closed, Beers Open, which is a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes. Please comment, just like I ask you to do on this one, because that matters. That keeps us in the ranks. Both of these podcasts will break into the top 100 every now and then, and then go away and then come back. And that just helps spread the word, helps spread that fire. So keep it up. And I will be at Atlanta this weekend, the Atlanta Punchline. Great club, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Next week is our anniversary, so I'm flying in, my wife's whole family. We're going to have a great week. And then and in November, I'll be at Levity Live and Brea Improv back near Cali. We're going to do it up. And that's it. So be good to each other. Keep nursing those fires. Stay hydrated. Change your socks. Thank you all so much for listening. And, you know, spread the word. I love you.
Hey, it's comedian Michael Loftus, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, The Loftus Party, right here on the Sideshow Network. You know, one of the great things about being a comedian in America is you automatically get a podcast. And mine? I'm taking on politics, pop culture, and the world as I see it. You guys, it's an election year. There's plenty to laugh about. There's plenty to joke about. And if you want to go to another podcast where they're ripping up the Constitution and they're trampling, you're at the wrong one. Mine is a lot more fun. So here's what you can do. Join me for the Loftus Party. It's Michael Loftus every Monday. You download that, you subscribe, you give it a bunch of stars on iTunes, or you check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/theLoftusParty. It's amazing. Loftus, party of one. Your table is now ready.